Welcome to The Buzz with ACT IAC, your source for the hot topics and top issues affecting the federal technology market. Join us each week to hear insights from government and industry experts, stay informed on the challenges facing the public sector, and gain access to valuable reports and thought leadership. Enjoy.
Thanks, everyone, for being here this morning. I'm Michael Bruce. I'm a vice president with Leidos and a former TSA IT executive a number of years ago. It's my pleasure to introduce you to our first keynote, Yemi Oshinaye, Assistant Secretary and the CIO for the Transportation Security Administration. For those of you who don't know Yemi, he was appointed CIO at the TSA a little more than a year ago, May 9th of 2022. In his role, he is responsible for IT software delivery and support, innovation, cybersecurity, and all facets of IT that the TSA uses in its very wide-ranging transportation security mission. He uses those tools to enable TSA to provide world-class capability to ensure the safety of people and products within our nation's transportation system. Prior to coming to TSA, Yemi served as the Deputy CIO for U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. In his role as the Deputy CIO, he was responsible for resource management, the delivery of IT capability for the nation's immigration benefits system. Yemi always approaches IT delivery with innovation as his mindset. He's utilized DevOps, Agile, has a passion for solving business problems through harnessing technology. Prior to returning to the federal government, Yemi served as the CTO for DevTech, an IT services and integration company, where he led the company's efforts in IT strategy, innovation, and solutions. Before becoming in that role, Yemi had spent about 5.5 years with CIS in their technology office, where his team provided various solutions to validate applicant identities at USCIS. So with that, I will, and also I'd like to say, you know, Yemi is a proud graduate of Georgetown University. So go Hoyas. I'm a former little Hoya, if he knows what that means. So. Thank you, Yemi.
Quick mic check. All right, all right. How's everyone doing today? All right, all right. You get some energy later. You'll be all right. So, Yemi Oshinaye, as you heard, I did hear mention earlier that we're in a CR, so that's why I'm wearing my low-budget uniform. Just work with me here. One of the reasons I like ACT IAC is, you know, we actually talk here. It's not about getting up here and saying a bunch of fancy words. It's about actually having an open conversation. I know it's on the record, but you can ask anything you want. I will answer it truthfully and honestly. If I'm not here tomorrow, then I'm going to look for you for a job. So just know we can be honest here. And really just, you know, talking about cyber, first and foremost, I want to say I'm really excited and pumped about the cyber challenge. Because as a kid, I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I was going to be a doctor or a lawyer or something. And then I fell in love with computers. I don't have formal training. I'm actually have a marketing degree in Spanish. So I played, I tinkered, I broke, and I grew up in the computer industry and the cyber industry because I loved it. We were actually talking over there about the fact that I don't work. And it is a joke because when I go in the office, they actually say I don't work. I'm not sure what that means, but I love what I do. So whether I'm up at 5 a.m. to midnight doing whatever we're doing, if we have an outage, if we're working on a project, you know, I'm passionate about it. I don't want to be anywhere else in the world because I get to do IT and I get to protect this nation. And that's a damn good job, right? So I think it's good for us to sit here and talk about it and inspire each other. And then we walk out of here, we learn something more. And then you guys get to be next up. So a lot of this is going to be about you. So listen up close. I'm going to be watching. Me and you, right? Okay, gotcha. So let's talk about cyber. If you think about it, you know, throughout history, you would ask yourself, what is the most impactful thing in IT or in cyber? And I guarantee you someone would say AI today or generative AI. A couple years ago, it was software as a service because the SaaS revolution was big because it hit the stock market, it made everything easier, and it enabled citizen development. Before that, it was software-defined networks. Anybody remember software-defined networks? It was going to be the answer to everything. Napkins still jacked up, aren't they? It didn't work. Before that, it was cloud. And at one point, it was continuous delivery. But if we paid close attention, if we really paid close attention, at each point in history, there was a change in how we had to secure it. Raise your hand if you know what static code analysis is. There you go. Okay, I got people in here. So when you went from custom code to SAS, static code analysis tools didn't work. We had to find something else, right? And with software-defined networks, that was supposed to be security. But what happened is we tried to figure out if an IP address was actually relevant anymore. What happened to tagging traffic? And we got confused. What was happening? When we went to cloud, the first thing, any CISOs in the room first before I offend anybody? The first thing they said is when you go to cloud, we can't protect that the same way we're protecting them on-prem. So I'm going to tell a guy who's doing 24/7 protection with security and monitoring cameras that you can't protect things better than I can protect it in my house. But we didn't know how to make the transition from our service to an on-demand service. So we had to think harder about it. And then we have this thing called software bill of materials. Because every time something changed, we had to change how we secure it. So I'll make this statement. I think the most transformative thing that we're doing today, and probably the most transformative thing about IT in general, is cybersecurity. Because of the facets of it. There's this, anyone know what convergence is? Got a couple people. So convergence, it's very important because I think the government isn't doing it as fast as maybe the private sector. The convergence is understanding that physical security and cybersecurity have no walls between it. It's really a dotted line, right? So, if you look at the NFL, a breach in physical security isn't that much different than a breach in digital security, even in my area. You know, if I breach a network, I have access to transportation assets. So convergence is taking a step back and looking at security as a whole and not trying to figure out what part of it is relevant. How do I protect both assets and how does one asset protect another? I mean, it's even in the cyber world where you talk to data centers and cloud. If you've ever been to a cloud environment or a cloud data center, that is the most protected place in the world. Actually, who knows where an Amazon AWS data center is? If you do, let me know, because I've never been able to find one. And for some reason, they won't tell me where it is, even though I paid for it. So, but that is part of the security obfuscation. So if your physical security obfuscates it, then your digital security is stronger. So convergence is something that we have to understand and change our mindset about it. And so you take those topics and you talk through them. You say cybersecurity is the epicenter of what we do. But yet, if you ask someone, they won't tell you that cybersecurity is the most impactful thing in IT that's happened because it's boring. Let's be honest, right? Who wants to go through a GRC assessment and get an ATO? Who likes that? Nobody does. But it really is important because it's not just about the protections that we have. It's the mindset of making sure that the assets we have are protected. The most valuable asset we have today, is data and information. And you know that's what it is because that's what people are after. So for us to be able to do what we do, it's important that that mindset is here. And really that gets me to the part of the topic is the why. Why in the world do we come to these cyber summits? Why do you guys wear suits? Because I'm not doing that. Why do we wear suits and come up in here to collaborate? It's to find out what we're doing separately and together make a difference. If you didn't know, here's a statistic. Someone tell me if I'm wrong, but I looked this stuff up. I try to be prepared. You notice I'm not going to look at this paper. Someone's going to yell at me because I didn't talk about the points I was supposed to talk about. But you guys witnessed that I had the talking points here. So let's pretend I'm looking at them. So we looked up, there's 7 billion attacks an hour. I heard somebody gasp. Well, I gasped when I first saw it. First, I thought it was a lie. And there's like a mathematical formula to it. 7 billion attacks an hour. Apparently, that's 2,200 attacks per person an hour multiplied by folks that exist on Earth. And you're like, that's BS. Well, here's my attack vector right here. I got two attack vectors in my pockets that are phone. Guess what else is attack vector? Your Bluetooth earphones. 7 billion attacks an hour. And so we talk about how we can thwart against those attacks with things like zero trust. And zero trust has many pillars. One of the biggest pillars, or one of the most important pillars that I say, is identity. We come to these summits to talk about how we understand identity and how identity has enough fidelity for us to be that main pillar so that we can protect against that. Anybody know what a deepfake is? Right? Is there 100% fidelity in identity? Can someone spoof themselves, not even with a deepfake, can someone spoof themselves to be me by having enough of my information that they can get past one level of protection? So we come to these events to figure out what we're doing. And it's not about having ICAM or credentialing authentication, because everyone has a tool, but every tool has a way of being bypassed. Then we come here, we talk about like segmentation and micro-segmentation. You know, because I've been doing this for a while, you can't tell, but because I've been doing this for a while, segmentation and micro-segmentation, after you get past the network segmentation, you go into application micro-segmentation. You know what that does? Because if you've ever been in this business, when you finally get to that point, you're like, man, I'm all segmented. Now, how do these damn things talk to each other? And if I have to update the way they authenticate, that's going to take a week. I'm going to get breached while I'm trying to update it. And it's trying to find ways of finding the staff and the skill sets to be able to do those over time and racking your brain to figuring out what's the best way to do that. Those are the reasons we're here. And the other thing is there a different and faster way to do what we're doing? Is there a better way to do what we're doing? Is it policy? Is it governance? Is it a new tool? For our federal partners, we had, it was GTSC CISA Day a couple weeks ago, and we talked about the tick. That is a transformation. So I don't know if you guys know what the tick is. So let's talk through this for a minute. The trusted internet connection. It is really kind of the form of a DMZ where you say, I'm going to block all traffic and expect all traffic coming from the outside to the inside, because that's the way we used to think. You have companies, right, that there is no outside and inside because, you know, the attack vectors are all over the place. While you're trying to watch something come from the outside to the inside, they're on the inside sending you out, right? So now we come together to TIC 3.0 and figure out how we change that paradigm. But the only way we get good at these things is to understand the current landscape and talk through it together. And get with folks, and this is where you guys come in, because you live differently. And even though we've been all in IT for a long time, you don't know about certain things that we have. You don't know about those physical planes, and that's good because we don't want you to know. We want you to come from where you are, understanding that the cyber world is amorphous. And really, it's not just about protecting the attack vector, it's about making sure the data is unable to be touched. And sometimes that solution is different than whatever we call a protection scheme, making it invisible, the art of the possible or the impossible. And so that's why we come to these things. I will tell you a couple stories that kind of piqued my interest, kind of like a business case to talk through here. One of them, two really major attacks that I seen, because we, as I was looking through to sit here and talk, there are a number of things that's happened over the past couple of years in cyber, from automotive, I would say, in healthcare, scary things in healthcare. I'll tell you, this is not one of the two stories. I just thought of this, so we'll talk through this right now. So Humana Healthcare. I don't know if anyone heard about the Humana Healthcare breach. Really, it's terrifying. So what happened was there was a ransomware attack, and we're taught with ransomware attacks not to give up the information or to act as if we're not giving up the information so we can actually get the threat actor. So the threat actor here said that they had data, images, x-rays, that they would post if the money wasn't provided. Now, I would love to tell you the story ended up with thwarting the threat actor, nothing was posted, but that's not what happened, right? So now we've gone from sharing to talk about the landscape and what threat actors do and what cyber breaches do, why it's important for us to really think through what we're doing, because in terms of criticality of life and health, it wasn't an issue. But what happens if you got your x-ray or a picture of you posted that you don't want out there? That's a big deal. It's also a crime. But we don't think like they think. We're not attacking hospital images to post them to embarrass them. Now, get past the embarrassment, how much money do you think the healthcare company had to pay out to these patients? A ton. Now you got a healthcare company that's paying out to patients, and I'm pretty sure their insurance, because you know cyber insurance is still gaining steam, wasn't prepped for that. Now you got a healthcare company that may be going on the outs, that supported a lot of people, all because somebody got in to the cyber back door, or maybe even the front door, and took assets, right? A little less serious, a little more fun. Let's talk about MGM. There was a story. I was in Vegas. No, it wasn't me. But, but you know, you think about MGM, and when they had their breach, and it's not that big of a deal. Their clowns were out there, you know, playing the slots, doing things they shouldn't have been. But MGM is a major brand. A major brand. It is not just casinos and hotels. It is hospitality. So yeah, I mean, you couldn't check into your hotel room on time. You probably had to wait in a long line for a couple hours and you're inconvenienced. But who do you think goes out there to spend thousands of dollars to gamble? Who do you think, there's a lot of us here too, right? Who do you think goes out and puts their information in some of these databases? And anyone know how that breach happened? No one knows how it happened? Seriously, somebody knows how it happened. Who said it? Social engineering. What kind of skill did you have to have a social? It's a different skill. Called up and asked to reset a password. Got the password to get to an admin account and then breached the entire system. This wasn't a sophisticated, well, sophisticated in a different way. It wasn't a sophisticated digital hacker, but, and this is why I wear this, but they broke the attack surface of humans. Probably one of the biggest attack surfaces. So when we talk today, it's not just talking about tools, but it's talking about the mindset. How do we get folks to understand fidelity of identity isn't just in your system, but it's in who you know that's talking to you? Or, and I was a developer when I get up, so the word policy and governance used to make me shudder. But now, what are the policies in place that if I call to change a password, it tells you, say no. I tell you, I'm the CEO of the company, change my password. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, you can fire me today, but I'm not gonna get a breach. Make that more important. What are the things that have us focus on that, right? Major disruption. I mean, we heard it, millions and millions. I think the number right now is somewhere in a $9 trillion range, right? For that. Move over to a more technical, you know, move it. Now, here's the thing about move it. So what scares everybody is move it was that shared tool with clients of all over the world. We're moving sensitive data with that tool. And that breach reverberated to all the industry because you breach one with the, you know, you talk about software supply chain, process supply chain, and data supply chain. Absolutely crushed the industry. How did that happen? Well, it was a zero day. Yeah, sort of. It was a zero day, but it was patience. Does anybody know that the threat actor was in that system for about a year and a half? Persistent access that you didn't know about. How do we change the mindset and the concept of digital technology and cybersecurity to constantly look, to constantly assume that everyone in, and here's where zero trust comes, we use it as a buzzword, but here's where zero trust really comes into play. You don't belong unless I know you belong. Every single time you try to gain access. And here's the other thing. Do you think that the threat actor came in there and started moving gigabytes of data? Of course not. They're smarter to know traffic patterns and have small changes in the traffic. See, you know, you smile because you know. Small changes in the traffic pattern that system admins look and say, oh, there's a spike. Somebody's watching the game again. Right? We laugh, but that's what happens. And we don't try to check the difference between a data pack. Because if you've been in the business for a while, video packet and a data packet are very, very different. They do different things. You know, when you're watching a game, they do very different things. Like if you're like me and you're watching the Giants game the other night, it would eclipse after the first quarter. it's different. So we need to be able to know and track the changes and to stop and say, wait a minute, I need to inspect these packets. And why is this packet dissected from the packet that came before and is not continuous? What's going on? And how do I get deeper into this? So those are the things we need to be talking about. And it needs to be as normal as a cup of coffee. And it's not normal. We talk about the game and the weather, but I get a cup of coffee. Hey, what do you know about cyber today? We should be able to do that because it's that important and affects us that much. We also come here for collaboration. Because I'm telling you these stories, what I expect, because remember setting the tone here, what I expect is as we're milling around, Beatrice, did you hear about that MGM hack? What could have we done different? Because we need to do that. We don't do it enough. If I were to just random estimation, as you go to teams, because you know in IT, there are teams of folks. You got the infrastructure team, the software team, the QA team, you got a cybersecurity team. We need to start to collaborate. And it's something I actually do at TSA, so I'll give you a little inside baseball. We have our meetings and directors meetings. So all those pillars get together. And normally, and you're like, look, you know, a lot of the federal space, we sit there and do statuses. Yeah, I can read your status. So what we do right now, every week we come in and we throw a problem on the table. And you've got everybody from every pillar. And we sit there and we attack the problem because everyone's coming from a different. And most times, no one agrees. We're always fighting in there. It was what I like. I'm a coach. I love to see the action. And when they're fighting, we come. And I need to tell you a story, more inside baseball. Let's see if I'm here tomorrow. Morris Dive Baseball. We were trying to do a mobile solution. And so we've got the developers like, I want to do an iOS solution because it's cool. We love iOS. And you got security people like, you're not going to be able to have the STIGs on iOS. And that was an hour fight in and of itself because I hate STIGs. So most people hate STIGs. We're in there battling back and forth. And someone, and the end user services guy goes, you know, there's tablets that have Windows on it. You would think this is the most obvious thing in the world. We're like, oh. But again, if you're constantly having these conversations and you're put in the area where you have a topic and you're stressed to the topic, you find an answer, even if the answer was always in your backyard. And that's really the point. The answer is in our backyard, right? And that's where we get farther along. Let's talk a little about the government. You know, I at TSA, I spent most of my life in immigration, so I can even tell you about forms. I'm big on immigration. I know it. As I came to learn the transportation space, you know, one of the things that was really pointed is being like the sector risk management agency. You hear that, it sounds really fancy, but a lot of people don't like when I say it because they're like, we don't want you in our business. But what's important is a lot of what I just said. I strongly believe there needs to be someone that brings it together. Because cyber has some homogenous attributes to it, right? You know, we all gotta make patches and update, and we all hate patches, right? We all gotta do that. We all have to look at vulnerabilities. We all have to talk through, you know, how we do architecture, and that persists across the modes. But there are certain things that are different. What I learned here, I didn't know anything about pipelines. I mean, there are things that deal with physical security with respect to temperature, right? A positive control unit. I didn't know what that was. Now I do. It's something in the train, right? and OT is this like phenomenon that IT folks have no clue about. And the OT folks don't know what the heck IT is. So it's that cross collaboration that, to be quite honest, even industry is struggling with right now. Because you have these controls that were more akin to manual movement and manual transitions, and now you add IT to it. And this whole thing is about cyber, right? And now I connect other people to it. And what you think is it makes it easier for me to control it and manage it and see it. It makes it easier for a threat actor to get to it. And when you hit one of those controls, one of the things that scared me, because folks talk about Colonial Pipeline, as terrifying as it was funny to see people put gasoline in plastic bags. And not to make fun of everybody, but really? Really? But it was the story about the water filled the treatment plant where they increased the chlorine by small amounts, trace amounts, and that was found by accident. Right? What are the controls that you put in place to make sure that you can watch that and there's no impact? The other thing is let's think outside the box. What could we have done to see that or stop that? And again, that's where a lot of our brain power needs to go. As the SRMA, we have to look at critical infrastructure. We're not just the folks that patch it down at the airport. We want to make sure that if you have access to an airport, you have access to a pipe on a rail, if you think about those things, not just transport things from place to place, not having transport is absolutely immense to the nation's economy and our ability to function. Not even a cyber threat. When Southwest screwed up their scheduling, I mean, there are certain parts of the country that's brought to their knees. There are people that travel up and down the East Coast every day to get to work. Important people, like master surgeons, folks that are part of Wall Street. So it becomes more and more critical for us to protect these assets. And that's where the Fed comes in. One of the things we're doing that's really great, though, is we bring people in to collaborate. We look to try to share critical intelligence and information to ensure that we're getting better together. It's not just about security directives that we say, thou shalt do this. We're creating a baseline. It's usually not for the big companies because they're pretty good. They handle it. But it's for the third parties, the small companies that sometimes your router and your IT closet may be right next to your kitchen with no door. And you know what? If you're a small business, that's a reality, right? And your IT person is also the QA person who might even also be the CEO. That's a reality. But we want to create a baseline so it's easier to increase the security profile. And then it's all about professionals. I talked about a lot of things that had a combination of skill sets. You know, if you remember Agile, the full stack developer, it was like that mythical creature that was on a unicorn that had like all these muscles and weapons, and we never saw the full stack developer. But we need the full stack cyber person right now, because the way you protect against the threat is to understand the threat. And the threat is code. It's not just about saying, I know how network moves north, south, and east and west. It's about understanding that I can have injections in certain places. It's about understanding, and here's where we go. So folks say that that AI is scary. The thing about AI is it's not scary. It's just AI itself. It's the pure automation, the hands-off automation. So I can provide an instruction that allows your prompt to execute it. I'm not executing it, but your prompt would execute it. That's what's dangerous about it. It's an unpredictable nature of how it attacks. So as we build the next generation of cyber professionals, it's thinking differently and being more encompassed in how you think. You're always going to have a discipline. You're always going to be better at pen testing than you are a GRC. But we need the GRC person to understand enough technology that they know the difference between a SaaS, a custom environment, right? So that we know what we're doing to attack and we can collaborate around it. Because it isn't just about policy and governance, it's about real defense and depth. It's about understanding that insider threat is dangerous as the attacker that's sophisticated. And oh, by the way, we are definitely at a cyber war. I mean, and you know, obviously it's not something we can talk about in public, but we are definitely in a cyber war. So there are people trying to do things to us in different places that we need to stay awake at all times. So as you come into the summit, we're going to enjoy ourselves, but there are a lot of things that we have to take very, very seriously. We are not sufficiently equipped to battle yet. That's a real statement. We are not, but we can get there. We can recruit more cyber challenge students. We can educate ourselves. We can build environments where we can talk openly and share. Like I come up here, I'm telling you, I'm a full-blown nerd. So we're going to talk tech when I get up here because it's important. And as you come and engage us, challenge us. Every time I come up here, I say challenge us. Every now and then someone takes the opportunity to challenge, but challenge us. Ask a question that you don't think we can answer and ask me something that you don't think I'll tell you. I'm always on the edge of getting fired anyway. So I'm okay telling you. But I think it's important, just seriously, is that if we're going to get anywhere, we got to share the things that we can't do and talk about the things that we don't understand so we can take that next step. Because with 7 billion, I don't know about you, I'm a numbers guy. I don't even know how to count that high. 7 billion attacks an hour. I'm getting attacked while we're sitting here. It hurts. 7 billion attacks an hour. We got to be a little bit more prepared and a little bit more focused and put our assets together so we don't have to worry about this. Because the flip side of this is these tools are really freaking cool. Who hasn't used ChatGPT in the past couple months? Who hasn't used Bard or Claude? Honestly, I was going to have it write my whole speech, but then I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Who hasn't done it? I actually pit them against each other. I asked ChatGPT if he can make a better joke than Bard and, you know, all that other stuff. They're cool. We should be able to use these things without fear. But we can't right now. We cannot. So we owe it to ourselves to use these forums, to use these venues, to be better at what we do so we're better as a country. So with that, I'm going to take questions, but this is for you guys. You guys next up. Thanks, everybody.
Hi, Sandy Mestre with Anagram Consulting. Can we talk a little bit about your current workforce around cyber? How are you looking at your existing workforce? What are you having to do, retrain? What are the important attributes that you're looking at folks for? Because it is a different world. It's a different way that we're being attacked. And I know when you go to hire, you've got these forms. But what yourself do you think is most important attributes and how you're going about it?
A couple of things I think is most important. One is being fearless. Because there isn't enough supply for the demand, we have to train and we have to learn. So it's being fearless about learning, understanding, and getting into the technology. The second thing is being able to transition. I strongly feel if you understand concepts about technology, you can grow. And then it's doing this, recruiting, talking to folks, finding that next crew of folks that it's innate to understand how like Bluetooth connects with a phone and things like that. Because some people live that. I mean, you have a child that's anywhere between 1 and 3 now, you hand them an iPad, there's no thinking involved in it. So, you know, finding folks where that's inherent and bringing them part of it, and then, you know, working that whole diverse network. I get really excited when I walk in a room and there's generational diversity, there's geographic diversity, because when you get in that room, you're gonna have tension, but you always come up with the answer because someone's coming from a different angle. And she's doing another panel, so I'm gonna embarrass her a little bit. My deputy is polar opposite from me. So we're always going back and forth, but I guarantee you, anytime you put something in front of us, we always come up with something because we're coming from different sides of the fence. So that's really what I value. Uh-oh.
Hey, good morning. Michael. Good morning, sir. Michael Leopoulos here. So other than fearing that the Giants are not going to make the postseason, what else do you fear in the cybersecurity world?
You have to repeat your question. I lost you at Giants.
So what do you fear most in the cybersecurity world?
Honestly, complacency. So the threat's always going to be the threat. That's what they're here for. I fear that it gets difficult enough that we just keep resting on like GRC. Like the only way to prevent is to get an ATO. No, that's not the way. Or we rest on a tool. So I think if we are complacent and we're not really excited and charged about being better, then we have a problem. And there's always hope for the playoffs, man.
Hey, Yemi, Gregory Garrett from Periton. Loved your comments about convergence. You talked about the importance of the workforce. And so as a chief information officer of a very important government agency, I'm curious as to what plans you're putting in place to be able to bring on more talent and struggle with often what we call the overspecification of requirements and just – what actions are you looking at to try to bring on that next generation of talent and overcome those significant barriers of bringing people into cybersecurity?
So again, here goes my, I have to watch if I'll be here tomorrow. USA Jobs is not the best way to hire. Let me just say it out loud. Okay, so we get over that. What we try to do is we try to do word of mouth. We come to events and we try to find those folks that are dynamic. And then when they get to the part of the process, we try to work them through. You know, you got to tell folks how to apply. You got to tell folks what to look for, because sometimes the best cyber professional has no idea what to do in the government. And honestly, you have to get them excited. Folks that do IT do it because they love it. You know, they want to dress like this and probably like in shorts. They want to come in and use their brains. They want to come in and have a whiteboard and a beanbag, and they want to engage. So you have to make it exciting. Get them to the point where they apply, and when they make what they make, is tell them to bring their friends. So the nuances and obstacles we're working on, I know that there are ways of direct hire. We're working on a different 2210 specification. But while we're in the middle of that, we have to get folks excited and bring them to the door. So that's what we're doing to bring those workforce. And then we go and engage. We went to Black Hat this summer, and it was amazing. So the secretary was there. My administrator was there. None of them wore suits, which is good. And we hung out. They loved us. We went to the booth. There was a line going out the door. So you have to do things like that. You have to go to where folks are. And TSA was actually cool for a while.
good morning to you. I'm GP with Stack Armor. First of all, thank you for not wearing a suit. That's awesome. I guess, you know, we talk a lot about digital transformation, digital modernization. But, you know, you said something interesting on, you know, a full stack developer and that unicorn. And you talked about, you know, a full stack cyber person. I guess, you know, can we have a conversation about cybersecurity modernization, right? So you mentioned GRC, you mentioned penetration testing, you know, just like, you know, Agile and DevOps broke silos. What are the silos and sort of what's your take on, you know, modernizing cyber so that we have those cross-functional skills? So, you know, that's certainly needed. So thank you again for being here.
Yeah, one of the first things I try to do, I do this internally, I do this when I go out, is I redefine cyber for folks because, you know, because we like acronyms and short versions, like we say cyber, and inherently you think cybersecurity. Cyber is not cybersecurity. Cyber is connected IT. So that's number one. The reason I say that is because being full stack, you need to get every discipline in there to talk about it. Cybersecurity is a state of mind and an action. To secure cyber, you gotta understand what you're protecting. It's the data and your assets. So you need someone to define the data, tag it, know where to put it. Because protecting it may not be putting a wall around it. Protected may be hiding it. Now we got quantum coming, so protected it may not be encryption, but protecting it may be distributing it. And you can't find the keys to put it back together. So you have to get down to a base level understanding at first, then you start to build around it. So how can I get my data professional to work on security from an angle, and to get my software professional to be more secure in communication and then access data? And then how can I get the front end person to say, here's where my validation layers are. I'm only validating who you are, what you are, but when that moves, is that behavior signature similar to what's happening on the front end? So you're gonna have this team, and it does go back to Agile, because a full stack person needs to be part of a full stack team where you have everything there. That's hard to do, but we get closer as you're getting multidisciplined people in. And you know, when I was growing up in the world, they always said you can be a software developer or an infrastructure person. I don't pay attention anymore. I want to do both. And I think it's good because now you want to get people to do both. And if you understand them enough, then you can get that kind of team.
All right, we got one last question from one of our students here. Sully!
Hi, Sully Vickers with the U.S. Cyber Challenge. So my question is building off of his, relating to the full stack GRC position you mentioned. Some people may disagree with me, but I think GRC isn't necessarily the most appealing position you can have. So how would you prevent someone that's more technical in the GRC side of things from moving to something more sexy like penetration testing?
So you mean you don't want to go through all the 500 NIST controls and map them to the application? Just what is wrong with you?
Not necessarily, no.
I'm kidding. So I think one of the things that gets to be cool is if you can make the stretch from the policy to reality. What happens with GRC is you go off and you close the door in really bad lighting, and you have to read policy, and you have to make sure that you have a security plan that matches thing, your test and control, that's boring. Take the GRC person and give them an application demo and see what the application or system does. See how it meets the mission. And then go back and say, does the identity control family map? And it really, we don't have to do all that nonsense anymore. We got OSCAL and automation, let that do it. And then when you see the dashboard and you say, man, you've got 70% of your identity family controls met. I feel good about what that application is gonna do now. I think that's important because all that other stuff, I mean, we get AI to do it. You need to worry about the analysis of how much risk there is if that pillar isn't met. Because now I can talk about, based on what I saw about that system and based on who's accessing it, I think identity is very important. Based on the breadth of access, I think segmentation is important. And then you map it, and then you're not worried about the minutiae of the controls. Now you're worried about, I'm a policy expert. You need me. And I think that gets you more excited about it.
Thank you. All right. Well, thanks, Jimmy. We appreciate your time today, and hope to have you back at another event.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap on The Buzz with ACT IAC. Join us next week for more hot topics and top issues affecting the federal technology market. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, and follow us on Twitter at ACT IAC. More information about today's show can be found in the episode notes. For more insights, visit www.actiac.org. Thanks for listening.